Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Good Tuesday afternoon, and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. We are coming to you from Kansas City at our Odyssey headquarters. One last time on this trip before we head home this evening. We'll be back in our Half Street Navy Yard studios for our show at 2 o'clock tomorrow. But we had a blast, minus the game, which was not that fun. Washington a distant second place last night. That was the JV against the varsity. Like, the first half went really well for everybody, I think. You hang, you turn Patrick Mahomes over a couple times, you exchange some blows, defensively you're much improved. The second half was kind of the Dallas game. Dudes running free, run fits were poor, couldn't get anything done defensively, offense didn't score a point. That looked a little bit more like a lot of us feared the entire game would go. But man, has this trip been great, and Arrowhead Stadium was a 12 out of 10.
Agree with all that, yeah. The stadium experience, by the way, second to none. That was fantastic. That was absolutely fantastic. First of all, things I didn't know. Everyone stands. What do you mean? Sometimes? All the time. You don't sit down. You got a seat. The seat is where you stand. That, like, you can maybe put a jacket down or something like that, but that's it. You stand up the entire game. Everybody does all the prompts. So, like, one of the things that was so cheesy and so awful going to Nubs Field for so many years, when it's like they're down 35 and it's like, ladies and gentlemen, direct your attention to the end zone for the Funky Four. And they're like dancing while the Cowboys are also dancing up by 30. And it was like, I want to vomit. Here, all they do is win, DJ Khaled style. And so everybody, whenever it's time to sing this song, whenever it's time to tomahawk chop, so much tomahawk chopping, by the way, I'm sure everything's fine. The constant participation of 70 plus thousand, however many is in there, everyone's so jubilant, everyone's so happy. They just know it's going to work out for them, and they're correct.
The way I would describe the atmosphere, which is football heaven, by the way, only rivaled in my experience at Lambeau Field in my travels. And I would go Lambeau narrowly ahead of Arrowhead because of just the history of the stadium a little bit, like the museum that it is. But I'm laughing because I just looked for the first time at our video stream, and your angle is so terrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I pull it up mid-sentence, and I just see that your laptop looks like it's 5 feet below you.
It's like looking directly right up. Do I have any bats in the cave? Right, you'll be able to tell. Check out the stream.
Right up your nose. Yeah. And at least your microphone takes up your entire
Is that better?
Face.
Look at this. Look at that.
What a dumb angle you have. That's the best you're going to do?
Well, first of all, if we want to do this, let's do it. You have a suitcase with your laptop on top of it, and you're sitting in a toddler's chair for the third table. Not even the kids' table at Thanksgiving, the third layer of Thanksgiving, like in the other room. I'm in a high chair. And everything's fine.
Whatever.
Everything's fine.
So getting back to the game, I'm just going to X out of the visual.
You got to power through this. We got 4.5 hours, dude.
It's going to be
You'll be all right?
Yeah, we'll be fine.
Is this like the time where I wore a visor?
A little bit.
Or I was clean shaven and you couldn't?
check out the stream, the 106.7 The Fan YouTube, if you want to.
Well, I'll double click and then I'll tag you back in. There was a show that you and I were doing, a baseball podcast, which we were handsomely compensated for at this point. And in the middle of the show, you looked at me and started laughing. You chuckled. You remember this? You go, I'm sorry, I can't. You weren't able to continue the show because I'd shaven my face.
Right.
Because I'd shaved my beard off.
It was a lot of lips.
And you were so upset that you couldn't do the show. And I was like, can we just talk about the Nationals, please?
So Arrowhead Stadium was great. But here's how I would describe it. Everybody is in on all of the bits.
All the time.
So when, you know, at the Caps game, as an example, during the national anthem, when you say red and everybody shouts red, it's that at Arrowhead Stadium. 50 times at various moments, various things that have just been grandfathered in as traditions. And everyone from the grandpa to the 5-year-old kid with their dad knows what to do, when to do it. There's no prompting. It's just an awesome football atmosphere. And the other thing I want to say about Arrowhead Stadium, we had amazing seats last night.
Incredible.
You can check out my Instagram at Grant H. Paulson to get our view of the game. Posted a bunch of clips and videos, and we should shout out our buddies, Kondori and Murad, the law firm that sponsors the show that brought us out here, stayed in a nice Airbnb, and they just put on a great show all week long for us, and we had a really, really quality trip, and the seats were about 10 or 12 rows up at the 40-yard line on the visitor side of the field.
That's as good as I've ever sat at a football game.
I've never had better seats to a football game in my life. It's also great because you can watch everything going on the sideline and who's yelling at who and who's hurt and getting into the blue tent. It was just a perfect way to watch this game, at least the first half of it. But I bring this up to say, this is the nicest collection of football fans anywhere in the United States of America. Whatever jokes we had made about Midwest hospitality and going to a game in Kansas City, and it's okay, you can wear your jersey. They're not going to be mean to you. It was a comedy sketch last night, how nice everybody was. I kept waiting for like a hidden camera or some kind of prank to be done. We're walking down to our seats and this one old guy stops Darius and he's like, "Who dressed you, young man?" And Darius is like, "Oh, I dressed myself." And then this guy just like gives him a big hug and fake punches him in the belly. And then he just like, "Yeah, you want to go get dinner with me? I'm heading up to get a burger now." That was the whole night. That was the by the way, the least friendly moment. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
that was the most adversarial.
It was just insane. So you can't ask for a better way to watch a football game than Arrowhead Stadium.
Incredible. Incredible. The electricity in there, because again, they're so used to winning. And I have a criticism, which is coming in a second. But they're so used to winning that, I mean, think about the number of times, again, as a Washington fan, forget about this year, but over the last several decades, where you rise to your feet for the big moment. You're cheering, and it's a 25-yard completion, and the other team gets to keep marching down the field. Or in the baseball playoffs, the hockey playoffs, when you're screaming your head off forever, just hoping and praying that the good thing happens and it doesn't. Having the rug pulled from underneath you time after time after time after time takes a toll on fan bases. They haven't had that toll in some time. They wake up. Is Pat Mahomes my quarterback? I will see you at the end of January in the AFC title game. And they all know it. And it's not just, I think it's going to happen this time. They know it. They know. There's a difference between hoping and wanting and believing it could happen. Having faith is all the people love to lecture other fans about having. The difference between faith, something that you can't see, touch, taste, or smell, but you believe somehow, defying expectation, that it's going to happen for you. They know it's going to happen for
you.
And the electricity is palpable there. It is a jet engine. It is a rocket taking off when Mahomes takes the field, when Kelce takes the field. They know that when Mahomes starts to dance around and do that inexplicable, impossible, once in a million year type thing that he does routinely, by the way, where you're about to sack him, he's looking at the pass rush to avoid it. And somehow, out of some Doctor Strange style third eye, sees someone 20 yards down the field breaking free, and at some angle that no human being should be able to throw a ball, just sort of flips it or kind of half pushes it or almost uses his left hand or kind of like behind the backs it for 20 plus yards. And you go, no one can defend that. This is the best thing that has ever happened in this position.
Yeah, that's why he's one of the great quarterbacks to ever live, and there's a real case to be made already. I mean, he's ahead of all Tom Brady's paces, not just statistically, which isn't even close, but even as a winner.
He's remarkable.
Championship appearances, Super Bowl rings. Like, he's going to go down very likely, if this continues, as the greatest quarterback of all time. But they do a lot of things well from a stadium presentation standpoint. I thought the coolest thing they did, so there's this really good light show. By the way, the new technology with these lights has changed the game in stadiums. You see it at Nats Park when they do the post-home run red lights and flashing in the ballpark. You see it in the NFL before kickoffs. They have it now over in Landover as of last season, thanks to the new ownership group, where they do their own light shows before night games. But it's so cool. It gets the crowd into it. But then they introduce their offense, and they introduce individuals. They don't do this enough at home in D.C. I think it's such a lame, wasted opportunity to juice the crowd and to give everybody a shot in the arm when you do the introduction as a team. And now, here's your 2025 Commanders, coached by Dan Quinn. And they all run onto the field for the national anthem. Uh-uh. The Patriots did that once in a Super Bowl. Everyone made a big deal about it. And there are still teams doing it all these years later. What you don't get is, this is how you get the crowd into it. Do you know what the Chiefs did for their starting lineup last night? They announced their starting offense.
But like 14 people.
They announced 15 guys. They announced all their receivers. They announced all their running backs. They announced Patrick Mahomes last, obviously, right after Travis Kelce. But yeah, it's like the offensive line. Then they announced four wide receivers. I was like, wow, are they starting like out of... You know, empty? What is happening here? Then they announced three running backs. I'm like, oh, they're just literally, this is not really their starting offense. This is just a chance for everyone to run out and get hyped up and for the crowd to go absolutely bananas, which is exactly what happened. But yeah, couldn't have been a better atmosphere, couldn't have been a better experience for us to watch the game. And then early on, Danny, the Commanders actually showed up and played some ball. I mean, they matched the Chiefs in the early part of this game. I thought their plan on their opening drive coming out was actually fantastic. They had to stay ahead of the chains. Check. They had to get quick game going. Marcus Mariota can operate that. Check. They go 40 yards on 9 plays. They've got a 1st and 10 at the 18 in the red zone to open this game. It's been over 5 minutes. And on a 1st and 10, where you're already in chip shot field goal range, you throw a screen pass. The whole point of the drive was nothing dangerous, no penalties. Let's just silent count our way down the field 3 to 5 yards at a time, and they were doing it. It's a tightrope walk, though. Nothing can go wrong.
Yep.
You can't get behind the chains with a hold. You can't have a false start and be 2nd and 15, 3rd and 8. And it was working. They were landing this plane on the most narrow runway ever. It's so hard to do. And they were marching down the field 4 yards at a time. And then this screen pass hits Deebo Samuel, who's looking downfield, kind of a before he gets the ball, off of the shoulder pad, into the air, and an interception. And that was the first real turning point on the road where the whole place got into it right then and there.
Yep.
I remember looking at you and going, that could not have happened like in a worse place.
Could not have gone worse. And that they got the look they wanted, too, by the way. Two guys that were there to defend were blocked up. The third guy, the safety, is deep enough where I got Deebo ahead of steam with a couple of blockers weaving his way. I'll take my chances there every time, please, and thank you.
You're 1st and goal at least.
They left, I think it was either a defensive end or maybe a linebacker unblocked who's trying to scrape and pursue down the line. You ain't getting there in time. If that pass is caught, maybe a touchdown, 1st and goal at a minimum, right? So then, of course, that's the dagger. That's just killer. So their first three possessions, interception, turnover on downs. You can't afford that against them.
I liked going for both of those 4th downs.
I have no problem with it.
And I would
do it again. Yeah.
I would go as far as to say, I don't know if you would disagree with this, I don't even think either was debatable. So they had a 4th down and a handful at the 40-yard line on the first one. That's a 58-yard field goal with a guy that's been on the team for 3 hours. I don't know what his range is. I'm sure they do. I'm not sending Matthew Wright out at Arrowhead Stadium in that atmosphere to get a 58-yard field goal. Sorry, it's not happening. They'd also just moved the ball 60 yards on 8 plays. I mean, they were cooking. They'd had 3 first downs on the drive. So that was the ultimate. Like, this has been the one time when coaches have actually gone for 4th down over 10 to 15 years was in that, like, 38 to 43-yard line, no man's land on 4th and 5. If I punt it,
a punt nets you 12 yards after the touchback.
Yeah, it might be a touchback. If I kick a field goal, we're probably going to miss it. So like that one to me was really, really easy on a night where you don't have your starting kicker. The next one is more debatable because they're at the 28-yard line And you could say, well, it's a 46-yard field goal. If you're signing this guy who's an NFL kicker, he should make that. It was after a 5-play, 31-yard drive. But even then, it was fourth and short. It was actually only a couple of yards. So to me, again, you're moving it. You've had some success. It's kind of a no-brainer go, in my opinion. And on that fourth down, that was the one where Mariota threw this like weird deep shot where he and McLaurin weren't on the same page. I'm not really sure exactly what he saw or what Terry was seeing, but he basically stopped. Mariota threw way down the field. I thought it was also too far to the sideline. It wouldn't have given him a chance anyway. But on that play, if you look, Ertz is open immediately on the little cross pattern, a little drag route. If you just hit him, you keep the drive moving. So it's a lot of shoulda, woulda, coulda for them. But that's three drives in now. You've had the ball. You've moved it into their territory to the Kansas City 18, the Kansas City 40, and the Kansas City 25, and you have no points to show for it.
That those two, you want to call them mistakes or, you know, failures. So I don't know what word you want to use, but they process is good to me. You go for those. Kansas City dials up a blitz on the one that where, you know, McLaurin either ran the wrong route or Mariota threw the wrong ball. I don't know what's what, but that's probably where his read took him in the face of some pressure. So those two lack of conversions, and then Jalen Lane's mistake to start the second half for Washington, where Kansas City goes down and scores. Okay, you're down a touchdown. You probably should be up a touchdown or a couple scores because you didn't convert early on, but that's a bummer. Whatever, it happens. You're still in this game. It's still punch for punch. And Lane sprinting up to catch the ball that might, may or may not have gone out of bounds. You know, maybe you give it a chance to. He does none of those things, kind of brain farts and goes out of bounds at the one. And the place is roaring. And from then on, that was it to me. The Kansas City was rolling. You weren't. If you're going to beat a team that's better than you, and I think everybody listening would acknowledge that team is better than Washington right now this minute, right? Duh. Okay.
Not even close.
Not even close. If you're going to win that game, when Kansas City is playing with their food, a.k.a. you, and Patrick Mahomes, who does not get sacked, is sacked three times. Patrick Mahomes, who doesn't throw interceptions, throws two. One, not his fault. One, absolutely his fault. Great play by Marshawn Lattimore, by
incredible
the way. Good for him.
Play by Lattimore.
I mean, he is blanketed right there. Great, great play. When they mess up, you can't. You're not Buffalo. You're not going heavyweight title fight where one mess up and they mess up and, you know, it's a battle of attrition. You got enough plays. You don't. Backup quarterback, old, beat up, slow roster, guys coming back from injury who aren't necessarily themselves just yet. There's no margin for error with them at all. And they made errors and you lose by 21 because of it.
They turn the ball over on their first two drives and you get 0 points out of it and you're still at nothing. The Chiefs feel like it's the biggest victory in the world.
Yeah, because they know they're going to get theirs. They know, you know, you feed Rashee Rice enough times, Travis Kelce shakes free on some veteran stuff. You know they're going to get theirs.
Let's say realistically, you just kicked two field goals out of those two drives. Had you have finished your first drive, it's 10 or 13 to nothing. If you get a field goal or two, just 6 points out of those two takeaways. Which, by the way, while I think the defense in the second half had zero answers, again got out-coached. You go into halftime, everybody gets to make adjustments. You have the same amount of time as they do. Andy Reid puts together a plan to come out and go net yards on his first three drives of the second half, 65 for a touchdown, 75 for a touchdown, and listen to this one, Danny, 119 yards for a touchdown. You go, how is that possible? It's because they had 25 yards in penalties. But every time they kept marching back, they would just get the yards right
just
back.
Easily.
That was when Rashee Rice, who's a dummy but a great player, threw the ball right at the helmet of Mikey Sanristil. Like, what are you doing? What a moron penalty that was. That
pretty
was
embarrassing.
Really ridiculous. But it didn't matter because he would just go on to make more plays and be awesome.
He had to sit out for a play. Then he came back in and got a first down.
13-play, 119-yard drive, 94 net for Kansas City. But defensively for Washington, it was the Cowboys game again. Busted coverages, guys running free, run fits that in the first half were awesome and not a problem, suddenly were again. And it's almost like the Commanders didn't get the break at halftime to go back to the drawing board that the Chiefs got. They just got out-coached defensively in the second half of the game. But on the flip side, Washington's offense, after the half, all the good came when they weren't scoring in the first half, before the two turnovers on downs, before the interception off of Deebo Samuel. In the second half, 5 plays, 25 yards, punt. 6 plays, 17 yards, punt. 3 plays, 6 yards, 3 and out, punt. And that one, by the way, oh, that was tough for me. I know I over-talked about it last night and was screaming about it. 7 minutes to go. You're down by 21 points on a fourth down. They punted the football. the ultimate white flag.
Yeah, that's the white flag, right?
We can't wait to get out of here. Give up moment.
Yeah, we got a lot of guys hurt. You know, Kinlaw's on the sideline getting his shoulder worked on. I mean, look to me, this is not an official report or anything, but just from our vantage point, looked like they were trying to pop it back in. Like, I don't know what the injury was, but it looked like a separated shoulder. Guys are trying to work on it to get it back in there. He's, you know, grinning and bearing it. There's a couple guys are holding them down. Like, it's Amish's dad from Braveheart getting the arrow broken off. You know, like, it was gruesome. You have Tunsil's gone out with a hamstring. McLaurin is kind of sitting there with his arms folded on the sideline. I guess maybe his quad flares up. You're walking wounded at that point.
You are.
I'm not going to say I understand.
Are you okay with the punt?
No, absolutely not. But it basically said, well, we're acknowledging what's happening. And that, so the mantra.
But I just think that's embarrassing.
Well, because it becomes empty when you tell people anytime, any place, anywhere, yeah. We don't quit, except if it's going badly.
That was a loser punt. I hated that punt. Because here's why you do it. You do it because you're down 28-7. And if you don't get it, when you punt there, you're giving them the ball in plus territory like a takeaway.
Yeah, they'll probably go on to win the game.
They're
going to
get a field goal. Very likely, but they could also possibly get a touchdown, I guess. The last scrimmage play on that fourth down where they punted was at the 36-yard line. So if you don't get it, they take over first and 10 from the 36. So if you just don't let them score, you just get the ball back sooner, theoretically. But I hated that. I thought that was just such a cringeworthy, loser, white flag-waving moment down 21 on the road on national television. But it was kind of a tale of two halves for me. I think after one quarter at 0-0, they're 12-point dogs, and you feel pretty good. After two quarters, it's 7-7, and you're going, this is the game we talked about. They needed takeaways. They haven't gotten them all year. They picked off Patrick Mahomes twice. One of them, by the way, we talked about this briefly, that play by Lattimore on the sideline was sensational. They got some big plays from Terry McLaurin, who was back for the first time in a month. His touchdown catch was otherworldly. His catch on the sideline was an all-timer. I mean, that was a ridiculous catch. There's nobody in the league better at whatever that is, by the way. Like, oh, I've got a blade of grass between my toes and the sideline and a guy hanging off of my leg and I'm full extension from the ground. I will take Terry McLaurin in a spot like that on whatever that is over every single wide receiver in the league. He's not going to route you up. You know, he's not one of the top five, top 10 receiver. I'm not suggesting that. But there's nobody better at a contested, ridiculous sideline catch than Terry McLaurin. And he made a couple of them last night. So you got some of the stuff that it was going to take that was going to have to mean, you know, oh, they're playing out of their minds a little bit. But the second half, it all kinds of comes apart. You get outgained 435 to 260. And that's with the Chiefs completely taking their foot off the gas pedal. Because Andy Reid's the opposite of like a Ben Johnson. He will never rub it in. He is never going to run up the score. They basically started kneeling like before the two-minute warning against the Raiders last week. I mean, he's just not going to embarrass a fellow coach. And last night, luckily, with about 8 minutes to go, they just said, oh, you guys are good? It was like the baseball rules where, you know, the unwritten rules.
Yeah, you're up seven after seven. Nobody's stealing. You know,
yeah, we won't steal. You don't pick off. You know, that kind of stuff. Once Dan Quinn punted the football, Andy Reid was like, okay, fine, no problem. We'll get our backups in and we'll run the football for you. And everyone just went home a half hour later at 28-7. But I just thought as the game went on, it was pretty clear. As if we didn't know this already.
There's just no counterpunches, Grant.
The Chiefs are just in a different weight class. That's a team that'll be in a championship game at the end of the year. That is a team that is a Super Bowl caliber team. And whatever we thought of Washington at the beginning of the season, they're not close to that right now.
No, they're
now.
Not that. And I don't know that they get to that. I don't know how or what the path is to be able to compete on that level. We all thought before the season maybe that could happen again. I did. I had them at 9-8, just missing the postseason. I don't know how they get there at this stage. You know, it's going to take a turn. It's going to take different play. They just don't have enough answers. They tried a couple different things to their credit on defense. You know, Dan Quinn didn't tip this, but we could see it from our vantage point. Tyler Owens was on and off the field depending on what package Kansas City was in. You saw a lot more Jordan McGee than you had in weeks past.
Jordan McGee played about 85% of snaps. He was in a full-time off-ball linebacker because they put Luvu at the edge.
And the defense is a lot faster when he's on the football field. You can just see it. You could see him, you know, flash around and get there first a lot. Bobby Wagner doing what he does best, tackling on the interior and not in space. Really, really good. I thought Lattimore had his best game. Just, you know, watching from my seat that he's had since he's been here. That was kind of the dream. So Dan Quinn's let's play better on defense plan. Let's try a couple different personnel things. As good as it could have worked, and you still couldn't stop anybody in that second half of the game. Just to me, they're just so limited, and there's no threat from anywhere.
Yeah, they're going to need Jordan McGee to clean some things up. I didn't think he played, going back and watching this morning, great ball, but the speed is what I care about. The idea is what I want, which is, like, at one point, Darius looked over at me and was like, who the hell was that just flew in there and made that tackle? I was like, oh, that's Jordan McGee. And by the way, that's a linebacker who can run a little bit. It looks a little different. And he can. He can actually do the things at the linebacker level they don't have, which is what I'm interested in. But next, we can open up the phones for the first time today at 800-636-1067. What went wrong last night? It was scoreless after one and 7-7 after two. And then in the second half, the Chiefs just pulled away and absolutely did whatever they wanted on both sides of the ball. What changed? That's the question. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods. Back live from Kansas City, it's Grant and Danny on the Fan after a Commanders 3-touchdown loss at the hands of the Chiefs last night. 28-7, the final score. Washington hung for a half, and then the Chiefs pulled away. Danny, how do you make sense of that? Do you feel like it was just inevitable because the Chiefs are better? Or do you think there's a lot to drill down on in terms of Washington's performance getting worse?
I think both are true, and I know that's frustrating. I mean, to me, Kansas City's better, and if you don't take advantage, if you're not up 17-0 after the first three possessions, minimum, you still might lose the game, by the way, up 17-0, because Kansas City's going to figure it out. Too many playmakers, too much good, too much Mahomes. You're not out of the woods yet, but you at least give yourself a chance, right, if you were able to punch first. They didn't. The Deebo Samuel drop, 2 fourth downs you missed, the Jalen Lane kickoff botch embarrassment, nonsense brain fart thing. As soon as those happened, I mean, Kansas City committed 9 penalties. Kansas City gave up 3 sacks. Kansas City turned the ball over 2 times. Pat Mahomes threw 2 interceptions. A ball hit Travis Kelce in the hands and landed to Bobby Wagner's. That doesn't happen. And you couldn't take advantage of any of those things to go down and score points, to keep the football, to master anything offensively and kind of, you know, exert your will. So to me, this is just as much good Kansas City as it is lack of a counterpunch Washington. They just look limited.
So I came into this game and I said this on the air yesterday, wanting to see Washington control the controllables better than they did against Dallas. Effort, intensity, physicality, playing with an urgency, all that anecdotal stuff that didn't look like it was there. Catch the balls that are thrown to you. You know, don't make the ridiculous mistakes that you're better than. Because against Dallas, I just thought it was not only too listless for a game that they had to have in the division, but I thought that they played about as bad as they could play in a lot of areas. And I wanted all of that to look different and be cleaned up, even though you were probably going to lose to the Chiefs. And I got exactly what I wanted in the first quarter. I got exactly what I wanted in the first half. The second half, to me, looked a lot like that Cowboys game defensively. And that's what gives me major trepidation moving forward now against Seattle, coming to Landover off of a bye when you're on a very short week now, banged up with some injuries off of a Monday Night Football game. And it's what gives me a lot of pause about the Lions, who are going to come to D.C. looking to bludgeon you after you knocked them out of the playoffs last season. The gauntlet continues here. The only thing that really changed is not only did you lose a game, but you're down some more men possibly. We'll wait and see on Terry McLaurin. He was optimistic, it sounds like, with reporters in the locker room after the game. There's been plenty of optimism on a bunch of guys that didn't play days later on a short week. McLaurin with the quad again. Jaden Daniels, who didn't play yesterday, we thought is certainly going to play against Seattle. That was kind of the vibe the team was setting last week anyway. Well, I'm sure you saw what I did, which was the Adam Schefter report. We'll play the audio coming up in a little bit later today. But he basically said they're being extra careful. I'm not going to be surprised if Daniels does not play on Sunday night against Seattle. That's a screeching tires, like spinning record, scratch moment where you go, wait, what? So is it possible that he misses another game? You mentioned the injury to Javon Kinlaw, who's vital to their run game against a team that pounds the football. You mentioned the injury to Laremy Tunsil, who came out of the game, went back in, came out of the game again. You and I were watching him. We were sitting side by side, 12 rows up from the bench. He had nothing. I mean, he was trying, God bless him, but like he couldn't move.
Yeah, there was a play, you know, early on, right? He comes back out of the tunnel, and he's going to try to give it a go where he tries to fire off, can't, just kind of gives whatever effort he had, and he's got his hands on his hips, just kind of hobbling around. Finally, they pulled him mercifully and put Coleman back in. I actually thought Coleman did a pretty decent job in replacement. Not an easy thing to do in that environment, but it was clear that Tunsil just didn't have it, wanted to desperately, which is a testament to him. You know, same with Kinlaw, trying to go back in the game. You know, all these guys clearly have the burning desire to do something about it as the season's kind of slipping away. But again, there's nothing you can do.
What I hope is that when we look back on these three games in the gauntlet, we're not saying the Chiefs was the easiest game to win because you had the longest time to prepare for it, even though it was on the road, and you were the healthiest that you're going to be. Hopefully, a lot of these injuries are more dings than they are times missed, and these guys can get back on the field soon. But listen to this stat. I looked this up last night at the Airbnb when we got home while we were watching the World Series game that never ended, by the way. 18 innings last night before Freddie Freeman hit a walk-off solo home run for the Dodgers.
Old Fanny Mouye was long in bed, not knowing how long that one was going to go. I didn't have the energy. I was sitting there, you know, my eyelids were probably 50, 60 pounds at that point, just like slowly but surely closing on the couch. So I hit the hay around the 14th, I think. But yeah, I woke up this morning to see Freddie Freeman. Old Nationals assassin Freddie Freeman hit that walk-off piece.
But by my quick scroll last night, the Commanders have lost consecutive games by at least 21 points, something that's only happened three other times in the previous 24 seasons. It's hard to do. I mean, it doesn't happen that often. So when you look at getting waxed by Dallas by 20-plus, and then you go on the road and you lose to the Chiefs by 21, and it could have been a lot worse than that, by the way, if the Chiefs decided to keep playing into the fourth quarter, they easily could have hung another touchdown on you, made it 35-7. But four times in 24 seasons. I mean, we're right back in the muck here. Now, I do think a lot of it is injuries, not an excuse and explanation. I also think there's some fatal flaws. Defensively, they're not very good. Offensively, right now, they scare nobody. There's nothing vertical. There's nothing easy. There's nothing explosive. And I don't want to hear excuses about the talent at wide receiver. Terry was back last night. Debo was back last night. And it was still a very horizontal offense that challenged the Chiefs down the field. Zippy. It's not because you didn't have Jaden Daniels. That was just what the offense looks like right now. Back-to-back games where I've got major questions about this O. But two games in a row you lose by 21 or more? Danny, over 24 seasons, it's happened three other times. And now you've got 5-2 Seattle and 5-2 Detroit. Like, this is getting perilous. This is really, really ugly for this team right now.
100%. I don't know a way around that. Like, it's an uncomfortable thing to confront because we're juxtaposing it with what happened last year. Last year is so magical, so perfect, so amazing, so awesome. Every break went your way. You earned those opportunities where a coin toss 50-50 thing goes your way and you're in the NFC title game. Again, the Hail Mary, Juwan Johnson dropping a two-point conversion, the Brian Daboll's kicker going down before the game starts, Devontae Smith dropping a pass, Jalen Hurts being injured, Malik Nabers dropping a pass. All these things add up to this magical run of a season that was so perfect. And regression is merciless, unforgiving, and painful. And that's what's happening. An old, slow roster is behaving like an old, slow roster. No fortuitous bounces, no breaks. You know, like even go back to this game. How often does it happen in the league? Once every few weeks, a ball tips the hands of a receiver and goes to a defender. Washington got their first one of the year. First one of those last night when Bobby Wagner caught a pass off Travis Kelce's hands. It happens all the time in the league, I promise you. I promise you if you watch other games, you'll see that on occasion. It took 8 weeks for one of those good bounces to happen to Washington, whether it's fumbles going your way or otherwise.
The Chiefs have fumbled 8 times this year and recovered all 8.
Again, the horseshoes are up there. They're great. If they'd lost all 8, I bet you they'd still be pretty good. I mean, they're awesome, but it's just you realize how charmed a ride that was, and now all the whatever the expression I'm looking for is, all the chickens are coming home to roost here. Like, the bad is turned up to 11 right now.
Well, the injuries are the best example of it.
Yes.
Last year, you stay healthy. This year, you're making up for lost time. And over a two-year span, it's going to even out to be about a normal amount of games missed, probably. They're just all going to be in this year's side of the ledger for the most part. 28-7 final last night. There was one commander who stepped up in a big way and I think could be in line for a really, really good finish the rest of the season and needs some credit. So I want to point that player out. Also, let's get that Adam Schefter audio queued up because we could talk about him just randomly yesterday before the game sneaking in the idea that maybe Jaden Daniels isn't back for the Seahawks, which was certainly not the way the team was talking about his injury all week. We're Grant and Danny in Kansas City still on The Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. The Commanders are now 3-5. They're coming home for consecutive games. Another primetime tilt, Sunday Night Football against Seattle this weekend, and then 1 week later at 4:25 against the Detroit Lions. It does feel like if they're going to get one of those, it's going to have to be this one. I just think that short week off of a Monday night when a team's had a bye, like, it's a recipe for disaster. But you know that Dan Campbell and the Detroit Lions have been throwing darts at a board with Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels' pictures on it.
Yeah, they got a list like Steve Buscemi and Billy Madison,
since
dude.
Since the start of the season. I mean, and they show no mercy. Like, they're coming here, and they think the Commanders are the reason why they weren't Super Bowl champions last year. And they're probably right, by the way. So I just feel like that matchup with that offense against this defense on paper is about as ugly as it gets. If you're going to win one and keep your season alive, it might have to be against Sam Darnold somehow, some way, going West Coast to East Coast here with Seattle.
Yeah, but it's a night game. It's not a 10 a.m. situation. So, again, it's a bummer. Another rest advantage for Seattle, as you said, coming off the bye week, Washington on the short week. This is a challenge here. We talked about this before, though, and that's why that Chicago-Dallas double dip was so disappointing. Even if you would split those and had a dud against Dallas, all right, you know, weird stuff happens in divisional games, et cetera. If you'd split there and were 4-4, we're now 4-4 after having lost this one, you go, it's not great, but you're not dead yet. This feels like on the way. This feels like everything is kind of slipping, the mudslide, and you're trying to climb back uphill in a really crowded NFC. They're much closer to the bottom than they are to the top in terms of NFC standings and record.
I'm going to give you a very real example of what that stretch was for you and I. So we're on the Co-Pair program where we're always trying to be healthier, eat well, lose weight, do that kind of stuff. And it's tough. It's a grind. We knew this Kansas City trip was coming the last few weeks, okay? So for the purposes of my analogy here, this five-day bender where we're eating barbecue and hanging out and doing nice dinners and ordering pizza to the house to watch sports with Kondori and Murad and stuff, that was always there. That is the three-game gauntlet.
Yep.
You know that that's coming, and you're just not going to do well. You're going to gain a few pounds. Do whatever you want. Take your, you know, walk your steps, complete your rings. That's not going to be a good week for you.
Yeah, I played 2+ hours of pickleball. I exercised Sunday morning before everyone else got up. It's still not going to be great, Bob.
But the weeks before that, you have a little more control. I'm not saying it's easy. You still got to go out and put in the work. But you're on your normal routine, you're at home, you can choose to make yourself your salad and bring it to work, and you've got to put a little hay in the barn, right? If you're not down a few extra pounds, you're doing some real damage when you get to the gauntlet that is that Kansas City trip. And that, to me, was what happened. They decided to just go sit at the bar and get their extra fried buffalo wings and eat their French fries for those 2 weeks before, you know, they made the trip, and it really is now a snowball coming downhill, and it feels like your season is over. In the midway point of the year, barring some kind of crazy renaissance that nobody sees coming at 3-5. By the way, interestingly, the betting line for that Seattle game, they're only 3.5-point underdogs against Seattle coming up this week with all their injuries and all the issues they have, which I think is just a reflection of maybe, well, I don't know why that would be. I mean, because Seattle's off the bye, you're on a short week. To me, that line should be 5.5. Something like that, maybe even 6. The following week, they're only 4.5-point underdogs against Detroit. Again, I think that that line should probably be bigger right now. But oddsmakers for the moment still think they're going to keep giving it their best shot and putting their best foot forward here after back-to-back losses of 20-plus points. The guy I wanted to call quick attention to, Danny, Jacob Martin. I love Jacob Martin. He's getting to play more now. He's going to be in that Dorrance Armstrong role. And how about his performance last night? 2 sacks. They only were a loss of 4 yards, so it's not like they were huge net losses. But Mahomes is good at that. He's always getting sacked, kind of getting back to the line of scrimmage, not going to lose a ton of yards. But hit the quarterback 3 times, had 2 tackles for loss last night. Jacob Martin's a guy all year long in his limited role who has flashed, and now that he's going to play more. You saw it last week against Dallas when Armstrong got hurt in the first quarter. He had 7 pressures of Dak Prescott. You add the pressure count and the 2 sacks last night. This is a journeyman who's found a home here. He can play. I like the energy he brings. He's an energizer bunny. Like, they need more of whatever that is.
Without a doubt. And he flashed several times. Even when he didn't make plays, it's, oh, he looked like he beat his guy. Or look at that, forcing a cutback from Pacheco, or, you know, Mahomes to step up before he felt like it got to the bottom of his drop or something.
He had a good matchup, too, because the backup tackle was in.
Yep.
But he's a backup. Like, this is a, yeah. Honestly, he's like their 4th or 5th end when the year
this
started.
This isn't Brian Arakpo against the Raiders type stuff.
He's whooping up on dudes last night. So right. I really liked watching him.
He was impressive. He was really good. I thought Johnny Newton was really noticeable, too. Left briefly with an injury, came back in. Had that unfortunate thing where you touched Mahomes. They're trying to protect him. You just finished what you were doing, and they, of course, called it a personal foul, 15-plus yards, which was a bummer because he made a great play on that one. There were a couple times where he, I think, hit Mahomes and knocked him around a little bit. And, again, I thought he was impactful. And that's got to happen. They need, because you're not going to have, there's no T.J. Watt on one side and, Lonzo Highsmith on the other. You're going to have to get some creative pressure here. It's got to come from the interior. It's got to come from all over the place. And I thought he was really impactful last night.
Did you just go Lonzo Highsmith on
Lonzo
us?
Highsmith.
Right over there? How about that pool? From Danny Ruye. Grant and Danny with you on the Fan from Kansas City. Next on G&D, let's get to that Adam Schefter audio. He seems to think there's a legitimate chance that you will not see Jaden Daniels against Seattle. We'll get into that on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Commanders fans who want to dig deeper into the X's and O's, the Take Command podcast is the pod for you. New episodes drop immediately after games and every Tuesday and Thursday, wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.